This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We missed you. It's hour number two of Nightlight, a Thursday night edition. I should have told Greg when he was here, congratulations, because congratulations to both Jane and Greg on 1 year on the air. I didn't realize. I thought they had been on longer than that, actually.
I think they were, yeah, it was just a little bit after us that they started.
I think that's right. Yeah. I figured, I know Jane was on before that, but anyway, very cool stuff, and congrats to the team at Matt Nair on air. All right, this is exciting, folks. We're going to talk, as I mentioned earlier, we're covering a wide array of entertaining topics tonight. We just did our popcorn pick of the week with Greg. And at 7:35, we've got James Roberts, the regional director of the Fellowship of Poets for Wisconsin, who will talk about a big event coming up here in January. But right now, we are about to turn our attention to sports and our very good friend, Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clements. Mike, how are you?
Pete, how are you, pal?
Doing great. Good to have you on the show. As where are you calling from, Mike?
My media office at Lambeau Field. I'm underneath the seats.
Okay.
In the south end zone.
Okay.
Sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it? Like a troll.
It's better than being underneath the seats at a high school football game or college football game.
No, actually, when you take the tour, they take you right through here because ESPN's across the hallway. Packers nice. Radio Network. Associated Press, the newspapers, you know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Press Gazette, and then your boy here's will be with Wisconsin Radio Network and Civic Media Radio Station. So there you go.
Outstanding. It's nice to have those credentials, my friend. All right. So what can we expect, Mike? Are you going to Philadelphia or are you staying?
I am.
Okay. When do you ship out, so to speak?
Saturday. I got favorable flight times. I got a nonstop. Wow. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. From Green Bay?
No, from Milwaukee.
Oh, from Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Because I live in the Milwaukee area.
Right.
And I'll go Milwaukee straight into Philadelphia and like beautiful. A 2-hour nonstop flight. So, yeah, I avoided a lot. And I wanted that because it's a crazy time of year and there might be some snow between here and Pennsylvania to deal with. So you just try and make it as efficient as possible. But get there Saturday. Game is Sunday afternoon, and I come back on Tuesday because I'll be doing updates after the game all day Monday.
Okay, very cool. Hey, did I hear Wayne Larrivee called the Bears-Packers game, obviously. Did he call Detroit, Minnesota as well later that night?
No.
Okay, that must have been someone. I was like, man, if this guy jumped on a plane right after the Packer game, must have been someone who just sounded like him.
Well, okay. Like on the radio?
Or... Yeah, I thought it was a radio broadcast. I could have sworn it was Larrivee, but...
You know, and I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. I mean, Wayne has had that kind of schedule in years past. You know, he was doing... First of all, he started out with the Kansas City Chiefs at a very young age. It's a great story. You know, he just kind of sent in a tape and somehow got the job. Then he was with the Bears throughout much of the 80s.
He was great.
And even though he grew up in Massachusetts, he was always a Packers fan. You know, he was a 5-6-year-old kid and loved the Lombardi era. And when the Packers job opened after Jim Irwin stepped down with Max McGee, he left the Bears for the Packers, like in 98 or so. And he's been doing it with Larry McCarron, ever since. So, and there's times, though, where he was still doing – Chicago Bulls games.
I remember that.
Like on TV. Then he's done, college games and stuff like that. But he's kind of pared that down. He's just focused now on pretty much covering the Packers year-round.
Oh, well, good for him. That's great.
He's a great guy. I mean, he's so well-prepped. But, I mean, not only is he one of the very best at calling football games, and NFL Films uses his stuff all the time, but he's a great colleague to have in the press box for sure.
I met him when I was working temporarily at another radio station, and I could not believe what a nice guy he was. Yeah, and his voice is just—he's great at what he does. He's a true professional.
He's exactly what you expect. You know, it's a big voice. He's a little bit taller, and just a gracious guy. A great representative of the team in the sport.
Yeah, very well said. So let's turn our attention to some playoff football here, Mike. We got the Packers and the Eagles this weekend. You're, as you mentioned, going to Philadelphia on Saturday. Jordan Love got an injury. It didn't seem serious in the Bears game. And I know Jalen Hurts has been dealing with a concussion. So where are we at with those two, the starting quarterbacks?
Love was rolling out and then scrambling sort of in the middle, and a Jervon Dexter, number 99, big defensive lineman from the Bears, was wrapping up on him, and Jordan went down and landed on his throwing arm, his right arm, on the elbow. And you saw them working on him on the sidelines. He had the coat on, and all of a sudden Malik Willis, the backup, is warming up, and then Malik took over. Yeah. And then during halftime you saw Jordan throwing the ball just half speed, though. I mean, people were tweeting out, "Oh, look, Love is coming back." No, he couldn't. Mm. He couldn't grip the ball. And yesterday, talking to him, I said, "Essentially, you banged your funny bone." And he said, "Yep." And it wasn't very funny. Nope. Nope. And he, we kind of asked him to go into detail. He goes, "Yep. No, I'll be right. Yep." He did not want to give anything to the Eagles about it.
Sure.
He was limited in practice yesterday. I think he was full participant today. I saw him throwing some passes today, and I thought, he's going to play. He's full participation this afternoon. It left him where, especially like in his pinky finger, he couldn't finish. It felt numb. And, you want all those digits, wrapped around the Duke, to make sure you've got the control, especially when you get into colder weather. Same thing with the Eagles. And it was back on December 22nd that Jalen Hurts, their starting quarterback, got banged around and suffered a concussion. He's also got a problem on his left hand with a finger. But he's been out a couple weeks. Now he's getting through the concussion protocol. He was limited yesterday. He's full participation today, so he's going to make a go of it. And his backup, the guy that they picked up from the Steelers, Kenny Pickett, he was filling in, and he cracked some ribs. So he's limited.
Really?
That's the backup there, yeah. So these guys, get banged around out there. But it'll be Jalen Hurts against Jordan Love, 3:30 Sunday afternoon from Philadelphia.
That should be a great game. It was interesting when you said, I remember seeing Love warming up again, and I saw, we all saw Malik Willis take that hit. Could Love have come back in if they really needed him to?
Yeah, LaFleur said that. They were thinking, they at that point, LaFleur made a look, this is, at the end of the day, a meaningless game. At the end of the day, his coaches have said, hey, he talked about what Washington and the Cowboys had done, which may have, if there was a slight chance the Packers could have gone from a seventh seed to a sixth seed. So they pretty much made the decision, let Love rest now. Let Malik finish out this game. But Malik Willis had jammed his thumb on that deep throw that he threw to Malik Heath, and because he got tangled up with another player. So Willis has been kind of dealing with a thumb injury this week.
Mm, okay. Why, Mike, it seems like Packer fans, a lot of people point the finger at LaFleur sometimes. And he's not perfect. I mean, no coach is. But I don't think you can blame that loss just on the coach, can you?
No. I'll tell you, one commentator I respect that I was talking to on his show, he goes, Matt LaFleur is a good coach. It's 6 years have gone by fast, right?
Yeah.
How many years was Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and he got to one Super Bowl but lost to the Patriots? Is this like the next Andy Reid? I mean, is he or Tony Dungy? Is he going to have to go to another team to win a Super Bowl? I said, oh, man, you just sent a chill down my back.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, there's going to be those kinds of questions and evaluations raised by the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, by the new CEO and president, Ed Policy, he's taken over. And, you know, Ed's been there right along Mark Murphy's side. And Mark's like, yeah, sorry, buddy. Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Dan Campbell and his GM, Brad, those guys have got the Lions rolling right now.
Right.
And just as a facility and a fan base, and the same thing over in Minnesota. And you have to keep up with these other franchises. And who knows if the Bears finally make some smart moves to support this rookie quarterback that they just drafted, who, by the way, made the difference in that game.
Yeah.
So today we talked to the Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, says, yeah, my bad. We had a miscommunication. We were not in the right defense. Okay, we were not in a defense that was designed to have two safeties way deep and guys trying to push people out of the sidelines. That's not the defense that I called. We had a miscommunication. And as for Caleb Williams, he's in the huddle, and he tells DJ Moore, because LaFleur mistakenly called a timeout with 15 seconds left, rather than just let the Bears run out of time and frantic. So with that timeout, Caleb Williams is in the huddle. He says to DJ Moore, if they play you inside, then go on a go route, okay, and I'll hit you deep. If they try and keep you from going to the sidelines, then take a little glance route, a little slant, which is what he took, and I'll throw it over the middle. And he says, and if we complete to DJ, he says to the rest of the huddle, we're going to bounce it and clock it, okay? So run up to the line because we're going to try and save some time. And that's exactly what they did. They lined up. DJ Moore saw that they were going to try and keep him from the sideline, and they had all that space over the middle. So he just looked in, threw him a ball, picked up about 12, 13 yards, got into field goal range, 51 yards, and then Caleb was able to run up to the line, spike it, 2 seconds left. I mean, it's like an Aaron Rodgers two-minute drill, you know? This kid pulled off, and they completed the field goal.
For once, Caleb Williams' own team didn't work against him.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, and the reason I brought up LaFleur is because I see the standard here in Wisconsin for Matt LaFleur and the coaches Holmgren, you know, and Mike McCarthy, and they've won Super Bowls. There's a high standard here, whereas in Chicago, it's we've got a great culture, even though they're 4-12. Like, that doesn't fly here in Green Bay.
No, and some people thought that LaFleur has gotten, like, too angry in some of these games and flying around and yelling at the refs and stuff like that. And my reply to them is, look at the two statues out in front.
Yeah.
Lambeau and Lombardi. There was nobody more grumpier than those two dudes, and they built statues for him.
He's got big shoes to fill. All right, Mike Clemens is my guest. He is our Civic Media Sports Authority. We're talking Packers and playoffs. And who knows, maybe we'll get into some Bucks too. We'll have more with Mike after a very short break. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Open up your heart, let's jump together. Use a little more, and we will make it work out better.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
How hard is it to recapture that feeling? At least there was a vibe down the stretch last year of nothing to lose, just playing.
I hate the comparison, guys. I mean, we've got a confident group, but we know it's going to be a great challenge. That's part of the fun. I don't think anything in life that's worth doing is without challenge. And so you got to embrace that and attack it head on and control the things that are fully within your control. And I never like to compare. I think every year is a little bit different. There's different people on the team.
It's the voice of Coach LaFleur. We have Mike Clemens here with us tonight on Nightlight. Always fun to talk to Mike. We're getting some inside scoop here on the Packers as they head to Philadelphia this weekend for the playoffs. Mike, we just heard the coach. We were just talking about him before that. The Bears loss, like you said before, is a meaningless loss. But coming on the heel, like, given that long streak ended, will it have any carryover as the Packers head into the playoffs and head to Philadelphia?
Well, so let me ask you this, Pete. When you watch the games and you've watched what's happened this season and you think about where the Packers wound up a year ago at this time, have you thought that this Packers team is a Super Bowl-bound team? this year?
To be honest, no. But I think we talked about earlier in the week, Conrad and I were talking about how back when they did win the Super Bowl, it was a 2010, I didn't think they were then either. And I feel like, you know, they did not have a great division record. They don't seem like a great team, but they seem capable of good things. I know that's not much of an answer, but...
Well, they were ascending each year when Aaron Rodgers took over to the point where they did get to 2010. And I'll tell you, in training camp, it looked like a Super Bowl roster. But then they had 15 guys go on IR, you know, including like JerMichael Finley and all that. 15 starters go down. And they still, you know, and McCarthy, you know, talked about that when they were handing out the rings. Like, we went through 73 players this year to win that Super Bowl 14 years ago against the Steelers. Do you realize, you know, that if a baby was born the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl, they'd be working on their temps for their driver's license at this point? It's been a long time, man. So my answer is this, is that last year you just wanted to see, okay, who's Jordan Love and have they made the right decision moving on from Aaron Rodgers? And then you get to a point where you have a 4-game losing streak and you're 3-6 and saying, oh, okay, you know, the training wheels, right? But then they get hot. And so last spring when people kept on asking me, well, you think, you know, Jordan Love, he's going to get paid, huh? I mean, you think he's worth $250 million? And I said, yeah, but understand this. All those practices I saw of him, and like the one year where Rodgers sort of held out and was, you know, ticked off and didn't report until training camp and all that stuff, I saw all those practices. And you can't duplicate Aaron Rodgers as an accurate passer. You can't. Right. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, you got to keep that part in mind. And the other thing is that the people got so excited a year ago at this time with Jordan Love and those guys did against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they wrecked the Cowboys. Yeah. Cowboys haven't been the same since they lost that game to the Packers. Lost all these home games this past year at AT&T Stadium. I said Jordan Love was in the zone last December and January. He just was. He got to a point, he's like, to hell with it. He just started chucking it, and it was landing. And he was in a rhythm. I said, I would expect kind of a sophomore slump. Trying to repeat that. Defensive coordinators know more about him. Teams will be better prepared, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, they play the Eagles in Brazil. He gets hurt with the knee injury. That he misses two games. It bothered him for the next 6 or 7 weeks, I'm sure. Then he has a groin injury. So he's played through injuries. And then their offense has changed. I mean, it somewhere mid-season, it became the Josh Jacobs show, the running back.
Interesting.
But it seems... And as he was struggling with that leg injury, Love was throwing a pick a week. At one point, he was, like, leading in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So then he had to change that and say, I've got to be more careful with the football. And at the end of the day, he's not getting these chunk plays. He's not getting those plays like they were getting a year ago, where it seemed like LaFleur could scheme these guys, and you turn around, oh, my God, there's Luke Musgrave wide open. Oh, here's Jordan Love. He's found him. Boom, you know, 40-yard gain. We're not seeing those plays. And why it's not happening, I'm not sure. But I asked this question today of the offensive coordinator because they have brought in James Campen, longtime offensive line coach of the Packers, Brett Favre center. They brought in Robert Saleh, former head coach of the Jets, you know, the defense coordinator of the 49ers, best friend of Matt LaFleur, and Luke Getsy, who'd been a longtime position coach here and then offensive coordinator for the Bears and Raiders. They keep been bringing in these consultants to do what? Fix the offense. So if you win the coin toss on Sunday and you're Matt LaFleur, you're supposed to put your best squad out there to start a game. Is it defense or is it offense? And if it's offense and you're at policy, say, what's the long-term picture here?
Wow. That is some in-depth. That's great, Mike. That's great stuff. So, I mean, what is your take? How do you feel, having said all that, do you feel like they're in a good place? They have a good vibe going in, or are they? I mean, they got a tough road because if they win, they play Detroit. Where do you think their headspace is?
I think Matt LaFleur fixed the defense when he brought in Jeff Hafley. They're in the top 10 now.
Yeah.
What's next?
Mike.
Maybe he needs to bring in a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah. We have about a minute left. More importantly than anything, I need to ask you, because you're the one who alerted us to this last week, Craig T. Nelson sang the national anthem, star of the movie Green and Gold. We're going to have the director on the show. We're very excited about that. But how do you think he did?
I thought of that as I was listening to him. I thought, what's Pete going to ask me about this? And the word that came to mind as he was about, you know, and the Rockets' red glare, when he got to that point, I thought, it's respectable. It's respectable. He's a baritone. He's an 80-year-old man out there, and it's, you know, 15
freezing
degrees.
Cold. Yeah.
Yeah. It was respectable.
I would
Everybody
agree
knows
with you.
Who he is, so it's okay. He's not going to win, you know, American Idol anytime soon.
Well, not with that attitude, Mike.
No. But, yeah, and have you seen this Green and Gold movie yet? I haven't.
I have not. I've been
there
reading about it
last weekend, and I was too busy doing football stuff.
Yeah, they have a really kind of up-and-coming actor in the lead, Brandon Smek. I can't remember his last. It's Skennel or something like that. But he's in the show 1923, the Taylor Sheridan show. Really good actor, and obviously they have Craig Nelson, Mr. Incredible. It sounds great, and the director is from the UP. He lived or grew up a half hour from where I live right now, so we're excited to talk to him, and I'll keep you posted on what I find out. I hope you do the same.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Safe travels, buddy, and hopefully
Thanks, Pete.
Talk to you next week. Okay, that's Mike Clemens, Civic Media, Sports Authority, and should be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Conrad, prediction?
Packers by a million.
That is some serious journalistic integrity there. All right, we're going to be back to talk some poetry with our friend James Roberts, who will join us after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Bridget in the 818 says, my so-called midlife, guidance for women, kids leaving the home, body shifts, career stalling. That is Bridget's favorite podcast, My So-Called Midlife. I've never heard of that one. Thank you, Bridget. That's our question of the night. Still some time if you want to get in on the fun. What is your favorite podcast? There seems to be a shift. More and more people listening to podcasts and have been for a while. I have been late to the party there, so I'm just curious as to what people are listening to. Steady Eddie chimes in from the 608. Always fun to hear from Steady Eddie. He says, Pete, I must admit I miss Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune. He hosted from 1981 to 2024. So yeah, Gaffigan said 2 decades. That's actually 40 years. That's insane. 40 plus years. Eddie continues, that's a long time. It makes me realize how old you're getting, Pete. Thank you, Eddie. Oh, man. Usually I only tune in for the final big money spin at the end of the show. I have the sound muted on my TV while I listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on my radio, Civic Media, 6 to 8 weeknights. Thank you for the plug, Eddie, and thank you for your allegiance. He says, my day is made when I solve the final puzzle and the contestant can't get it no matter how loud I shout the correct answer at my television. A poem by Steadfast Edward. You see what he did there? He pulled it all together, Conrad.
Yeah, he did.
That was like a synopsis of the whole show. But here's his poem. He says, Jim Gaffigan, he makes me laugh again and again and again. Thanks, Jim Gaff again. Steady, by a vowel, get a clue, Eddie. Yeah. Thank you, Steady Eddie. That's one of his best. That was beautiful.
Tearing up over here.
Fantastic. Conrad is actually crying. All right. We are going to turn our attention to, we've talked movies, we've talked sports. Now we've already moved into poetry, I guess. Thank you to Steady Eddie. But my next guest has been on the show before, probably about a year ago when this great poetry event was happening previously, but it is right around the corner again. So it is my pleasure to welcome the Vice President for the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. Joining me now on Nightlight is poet James Roberts. Hi, James.
Well, hello, Pete. Thank you for taking the risk of having me back on the show again.
The risk? Are you contagious with something? I don't think there's a risk, James. It's great to have you.
But I do have a jingle to start out with just for you.
Lay it on me, Stretch.
More vociferous than Fred Flintstone's Yabba Dabba do. More mysterious than the caves of Alibaba. More profuse than the common wildflower Draba. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Conrad, we are so clipping that. That was beautiful. Thank you, James. That's so great. It's good to have you back on the show, buddy. It's been about a year. Yeah. So how are you? How are things going?
Very busy right now, getting things set up for the 2025 Winter Festival of Poetry, which is the 8-week-long series of poetry readings held here in Madison on Sunday afternoons, usually around 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And this year we're at two different locations. There, we're going to start out at the Arts and Literature Laboratory, where we've been for the past 3 years.
Okay.
And then we're going to move to Madison's premier jazz club, the Cafe Coda, for the final 4 weeks, which should be a lot of fun.
Wow. That's what was the first venue you said, James? The Arts and Literature Building?
The Arts and Literature Laboratory.
Laboratory. Is that on the UW campus, or where is that?
No, that is 111 South Livingston Street. It's right across from the Sylvie.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That entertainment venue.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into the Winter Festival of Poetry a little more. But first, I want to ask you, for those listening who may not know a lot about poetry, and I was an English major myself years and years ago. I read a lot of poetry back then. I'm not as versed in it now as I was 30 years ago. But as you're the regional vice president, how do you get people interested in poetry again? People that are never going to go away. It has a following. It has fans. Do you want to grow? Is your goal to grow and have more interest in poetry? And if so, how do you do that?
Oh, that's always the goal. And basically, that's part of our mission statement with the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, which will be celebrating its 75th anniversary this June.
Wow.
It began in 1950, and we're going to have a big 3-day conference at the Concourse Hotel right here in Madison.
Fantastic. Wow. Okay.
And what we do is we go out and we try to get people interested in poetry by doing workshops, by doing readings, by having contests, poetry contests. And all of this can be part of your membership in the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets.
Very nice. So that was a nice, very subtle plug you got in there, James. I have no doubt you write great poetry when you can sneak messages in like that. What is your job, James, as regional vice president? What does that entail exactly, other than putting the Winter Festival of Poetry on and recruiting future poets and workshops? What does your job entail?
You pretty much described it in a nutshell. It's basically to promote the growth of poetry. And sometimes in the most unexpected and odd places, like farmland poetry there. Huh. And like, especially on the college campus, we have a lot of what they call hip hop poetry or spoken word performance poetry.
Sure.
There. And I try to tap into that and do a lot of crossover between regular poets and the new generation.
That is smart right there. And what you just said is interesting. It has to evolve, right? Like movies do, like stage plays do, music, poetry too. So that's really interesting. So given what you just said, is the art form of poetry growing? Is there new interest all the time? Is it growing?
Oh, yes, I believe it is growing, especially since the pandemic, which even though it made a lot of people stay indoors and not go out and attend poetry readings, it also opened up the possibilities to people doing podcasts of their poetry and expand to a wider audience. So yes, I think poetry is really going through a growth period right now.
And what about here in Wisconsin? Would you say, like, compared to other states or regions, are there more regions where it is more popular? You just said, well, farmers. I would say big cities typically might be more, it might be more popular, but you just mentioned farmers.
Well, yes, it has expanded out into more rural areas. I know there is a movement within the state of Wisconsin where many of the smaller localities have their own poet laureates there, well, who are responsible for promoting poetry in those areas.
That's interesting. All right, so where can people find out more information, James, about the Winter Festival of Poetry?
Well, the primary place is the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets website, www.wfop.org. But you can also find it on the WFOP Facebook page. We also have a lot of the local media outlets. Isthmus just gave us a very nice write-up. And especially for this opening reading on Sunday, January 19th, we are featuring Madison's current poet laureate, Stephen Espada Dawson. And what Madison has done the past 3 years is they've had a youth poet laureate, normally a teenager in high school. And this year it's Justin Feske Russell, who's just a recent graduate and is already enrolled at the UW-Madison in the First Wave Spoken Word Scholarship Program.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're pretty good at your job, James. That's what I'm drawing from this.
Well, I've been doing it since 2010, so I've had a lot of experience, a lot of little bumps along the way, but also a lot of fun. And what I try to do to make it more fun for not only the general public, but also for the poets is I come up with a different theme for each year. Like 2 years ago, the theme was Wisconsin cheese. So we featured a different variety of cheese on each of the 8 Sundays.
Wow.
And last year, it was again Wisconsin, the circus. And this year, we are going around the world in a passport to poetry.
Oh, I like that.
Where we are featuring 8 very popular travel destinations: London, Paris, Rome, Cairo, Delhi, Tokyo, Rio, and the Bahamas.
Oh my goodness. That sounds better than the cheese poetry, just because I'm lactose intolerant. But I think my guest is James Roberts. He is the regional director of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, joining me here on Nightlight for a few minutes tonight. And they're a big festival. The Winter Festival of Poetry is January 19th. And is there a cost? Can people...
The admission is free, though donations are encouraged.
Okay.
And the Winter Festival of Poetry will run on Sunday afternoons through March 9th. So we have 8 consecutive Sundays. And each Sunday, 6 poets will get up and read for about 10 to 12 minutes each.
That's pretty cool. And it's still live entertainment. I mean, I'm sure you get an array of poets that read different stuff. Some of it's probably somber. Some of it's probably has like a hip-hop flair, like you said. Some of it's more dramatic or comedic. What's your favorite kind of stuff to listen to, James?
Well, I like it all pretty much. There, as long as it's sincere and it comes from the heart there. The fun part about putting this together is knowing what most of the poets write and then try to mix and match so that each week you will get a different variety of poets every Sunday.
Yeah. That's great. I'd like to do something now if you're okay with this. I have one of my favorite poems is a poem called Dover Beach by Matthew Arnold.
Oh yes, very familiar with it.
You're familiar with it. Okay, so I would like to I'm going to do my best to memorize paraphrase the last 3 lines of the poem, which have always stayed in my head. And this is what I love about poetry. Like, I would write papers in college, and I remember a professor, the best feedback I got was he said, I didn't look at it this way before, but I like your interpretation. And I thought that was a victory. So I'm going to give you the last three lines of Dover Beach, and I would love for you to kind of decipher it for me if you would. Can we do that?
Okay, sure.
Okay. It's the last three lines. That's all I have memorized from over the years. And we are here as on a darkling plane, swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night.
Oh, yes. Very familiar with that.
Okay.
And yes, it definitely speaks not only to the times that Matthew Arnold was living in, but also to the times that we are currently living in.
See, yeah. That's what the professor said. He said it was more of a war. And I interpreted it as two people trying to, that had a battlefield, a sexual or tense battlefield between them physically.
Well, that's interesting.
That's just what came to me when I was 20 years old. And I was glad he didn't laugh me out of the classroom, at least. He at least respected my opinion. And
well, he respected the fact that you were 20 years old.
Right. Didn't know what the hell I was talking about. we have about a minute left, James. I just want to ask you, how did you get into the poetry racket? If you can summarize that briefly.
Oh, that's easy. I had the hots for a girl in high school, and I wrote a poem for her.
Oh, man, that's probably the most age-old story.
And then
story.
I read it to her, and we've been friends ever since.
Oh, well, I hope you eventually get somewhere. I hope you get it out of the friend zone at some point, but even if you don't, it sounds like it was very successful. So,
do we have time for a short poem?
Yeah, if you can stick around through a quick break, absolutely.
I can do that.
Okay, we'll do that. So James is going to read us something that he created, not something he paraphrased like I just did. He's got his own original content here. So we'll be right back to hear that and wrap things up on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. When it did, I fall.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the 715, in answer to our question of the night, what is your favorite podcast? Kate from the 715 says Giggly Squad. I don't know Giggly Squad. I don't know podcast. That's the problem. Like I'm asking, they could be making stuff up and sending it in. But Giggly Squad is a cool title. Kate also says Murder with My Husband. I'm guessing that's a true crime podcast or some type of confession. And she continues saying, You Can Sit With Us. Do you know any of those, Conrad?
No,
I don't know those either. Thank you, Kate, though, for the suggestions. Those are great. And I'm actually most of the podcasts I've heard tonight, I'm not familiar with. So that's kind of the whole point of the exercise. We have a few more minutes here with our friend James Roberts. He is the regional vice president of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. They have a great event coming up January 19th, Sunday afternoon. James, you said you wanted to read something. It's coming back to me. I think you did this last year, too. You read some of your original works. And
yes,
I'm glad you asked that because I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad you have something to share this year, too. So we'd love to hear whatever you have.
Okay, well, this poem is called A Golden Shovel. And a golden shovel poem means that the last word in every line, when read downward, comprises a famous saying.
Huh.
The most famous example would be, now is the time for all good men.
Okay.
So I'm going to slightly emphasize the proper words. And then the fun part is having people guess what the phrase is.
Okay.
This poem is called Apartment Hunting.
Okay.
We scan the adverts for sublets, not knowing if any of them do have what we want. It's all for the best that we split up. No one has time these days to commit to being together. A warp of technology threatens to destroy us again.
Okay. I think I missed a word, but I'm going to guess. Sublets want best again? Did I do that wrong?
I'll do it one more time very okay. quickly.
All right.
We scan the adverts for sublets,
okay,
not knowing if any of them do have what we want. It's all for the best that we split up. No one has time these days to commit to being together. A warp of technology threatens to destroy us again.
Sublets do want the best. I'm going to need some help. Sorry.
Okay. Let's do the time warp again.
Nice. I feel like I let you down, James.
Well, you're not the first team. But there have been a few that have gotten it because they're Rocky Horror fans like me.
I just saw that show 2 years ago, too, at our local community theater. James, thank you so much. I hope we can do this again. We don't have to wait a year either next time. We'd love to have you back sometime soon.
Thank you, Pete. Yeah, let's stay in touch, and I'll let you know what's going on in the poetry world.
Please do. Good luck with the event on the 19th. It's the Winter Festival of Poetry. Thank you very much, James Robert. Have a great night.
You too, Pete.
Okay. All right. Thank you to all my guests, Mike Clemens, Greg Bach, James Roberts. Thank you for your texts. I've learned about podcasts I had no idea existed. And, you know, if I could, here's the problem, Conrad, as I leave here at night, and I did write down Greg's movie suggestion.
Yeah, it seemed interesting.
It did. And I'm going to write down these podcasts, but oftentimes I'll like jot down what I want to remember on these papers. And guess what I do with the papers before I leave? I ball them up and I toss them. So I learned like nothing from
my mistakes.
You're
just trying to hoop back there.
I'm just trying to hoop. We were going to get to Badger basketball with Mike, but we ran out of time. They have Minnesota tomorrow night. They're 12-3.
Yep.
And respectable, certainly.
Yeah. No, definitely respectable. And the Big Ten this year is looking really good. So they just beat Rutgers, which has one of the highest prospects, Ace Bailey. And he did not play well against the Badgers. So that means we could have some good defense.
Okay. I like that. Is there a score? I know that we're 5 days of football now, you said, between college and pro.
Did it start yet?
I thought 6:30 it started.
Okay, it is 10-0 Penn State.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I don't like Penn State.
I agree. I don't
they
like Penn State either.
They're a hateable program with the Joe Paterno stuff and now this coach that wouldn't answer questions about so much inappropriate stuff happened there again. And they're acting like they don't have to. It's just, they're awful. So I will cheer. I'll cheer for an SEC team over Penn State. And I'm a Big Ten guy first, honestly.
Yeah.
And they're beating Notre Dame 10-0. All right. Well, what are you going to do? So I want to finish the show with this. Andrew Garfield, fine actor. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He has to call press conferences, basically, to say he's not doing a movie. He did it with Scorsese now. There were rumors that they wanted him back in the Spider-Man franchise to appear in something with Tom Holland. He didn't want to do it. I guess I don't have my finger on the pulse. Is he in high demand all over the place? He's a good actor, but yeah. He's not, Leo DiCaprio, is he?
What I will say is there was a while where he didn't say he wanted to do any Spider-Man after the Amazing Spider-Man he did. And he turned out he did it again, with Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire. So there's a chance he could still return after saying no.
Okay.
But I think he does a really fine job of Amazing Spider-Man, what he played.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of my favorite Spider-Mans he played in the first one there. So
that's I think he's a good actor, but I just don't understand. Like, I heard him say that too. I think it's weird when they bring three Spider-Mans together.
Yeah.
It's so cute and like, what the heck? I love a badass superhero.
I loved it. I'm sorry. I loved it.
You don't have to apologize.
I'm a big Spider-Man guy, so that was amazing for me. I was screaming in the movie theater.
That's wow. I would pay to see that. All right, that's a great place to end the show tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. Paige McKenna will be here, ladies and gentlemen. She's got a great documentary about I want to say gentlemen's clubs, but Paige will be here tomorrow in studio talking about her documentary Gold. And Lisa Hale, the host of New Wisco Weekend, will be here to talk about what she has coming up this weekend. That's a fun show tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. So please come back and join us again. We'd love to have you here at Nightlight every night. I'm Pete Schwabe on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.